At 92 years old, Rupert Murdoch is stepping aside from running his media empire. His son Lachlan is taking over as chair of News Corp and Fox, while Murdoch Sr. becomes chairman emeritus of the global and influential brand. Jim Waterson, The Guardian's media editor, can tell us more. Jim Waterson, I suppose most 92-year-olds are long retired. The question is whether Rupert Murdoch, being who he is, really intends to let go of the reins.
Well, I think the most telling sentence in his message to staff was, "I still expect to see you in the office on Friday afternoons when I'm visiting your country," with a dig both at work from home culture and saying, "I ain't going anywhere yet." What we've seen in that announcement that Rupert Murdoch's formally stepping aside is maybe not that he's actually going to vanish from the scene quite yet. It's a sort of he's moving for his son Lachlan to sort of actually end the succession drama and take over. But he still controls the shares. He's still going to be calling some of the shots, and he's still going to be sticking his oar in when he fancies it.
It's hard, isn't it, to describe the scale of Rupert Murdoch's influence through the media empire that he built. I mean, he's a man who made prime ministers and presidents, who could effectively dictate government policy in different continents over many decades.
Yeah, I think it's unprecedented and probably unlikely to be able to be recreated again. Certainly in traditional media, I mean, you could argue that Mark Zuckerberg has a similar power if he sort of changes his algorithm on Facebook, and that's the only thing that would come close in the modern era. But look, you know, to how do I put it? Even the people who think Murdoch is loathsome, sort of the sheer guile and approach and ruthlessness with which he built that empire is really unprecedented. To take a few newspapers in Australia, to then get control of the Sun and the Times in the UK, to then build Sky TV off the back of it, and then to take that and build Fox in the States. I mean, it's ruthless deal making that has made him a very rich man. And of course, you know, maybe if you felt one way, corrupted our democracies a bit. So he's a fascinating character, regardless of anything else.
And the succession, obviously, I feel like we should be playing the theme music in the background here, but the succession, obviously, I mean, Lachlan has been named as the chair of both organisations now, but each of the four children has an equal vote whenever Rupert Murdoch does finally go. So, questions about the future.
Right. So, I mean, you know, I won't get into corporate structures. It's a bit early in the morning. But the main thing you need to know if you're listening to this is that while Rupert holds the shares, he's given his heir apparent, Lachlan, control of the company. But when Rupert does eventually go, assuming that he is mortal, then we will see his shares divided between four siblings, and they can sort of have another squabble and decide who comes out on top then. So, you know, if you really are a fan of Succession, this is not necessarily the final episode quite yet. There could be more to come. And you've got Lachlan, who's seen as more right-leaning. You've got his brother, James, who's worried about climate change and whether Fox News went too far. And you've got the two sisters, Prudence and Liz, in the background, who will probably hold the casting votes.
And of course, most recently, Fox News played a huge role in the rise of Donald Trump and also in determining the outcome of the last election.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who calls the shots, and in many ways, and with Fox, he's got the ability to anoint kingmakers in the States. Although he did try and move away from Trump in the States and shift Fox News's support elsewhere, but that doesn't seem to have actually changed the polls. So, as ever with Rupert Murdoch, he likes the illusion of power, and he's very good at calling, you know, when it was expedient to back New Labour and Tony Blair, he shifted to that. He likes to be on the winning side. And so, you know, as ever, it's the conundrum of, is it his newspaper support that calls the election, or is it that he knows when to fall in line and get the favours out of the person who is inevitably going to win the election? That's always the tension with watching Murdoch and his company. And you can see that in the UK as he tentatively tries to work out what to do with Labour's Keir Starmer.
Yes, indeed. And he certainly has a blast at the media, the rest of the media, in his departing remarks to staff. Elites have open contempt for those who are not members of their rarefied class, he wrote. Most of the media is in cahoots with those elites, peddling political narratives rather than pursuing the truth. In my new role, I can guarantee you I will be involved every day in the contest of ideas. So he's still keeping his flag firmly flying, isn't he?
Yes, well, there's nothing like a man who inherited a newspaper, went to the University of Oxford, has had several presidents and prime ministers listen to his every word and made billions of pounds in the process to rant about the influence of elites on our society. So it's always fascinating how people can mentally contort themselves into these positions. But, you know, he has his own right-wing cultural views. And I think the interesting one is, he is pushing to buy the Spectator and possibly even bid for the Telegraph in the UK. And, you know, that's not something his son would be doing. And I think if they do buy those ones, it's an indication that Rupert Murdoch's still calling some of the shots behind the scenes.
Thanks very much for talking to us this morning. Jim Watterson there, media editor with The Guardian. It's 14 minutes to 8.